Oh, memory. The servant of hope. We want to see how that works today here on New Hope Radio. Oftentimes, memory serves as a servant of despondency. You ever notice? We have a tendency to remember the sadder things in life. I want us to see today that memory is also a servant of good. Oh, at times he may bring you a cup of bitterness to drink, but he also may bring you a cup of joy. And although sometimes, yeah, memory hits us right in that bleeding heart, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. We're in a series on hope, and we're learning that hope is the way that we journey after salvation. I want you to see today, memory doesn't have to be a punisher, but he can bring you glad tidings. Imagine seeing your memory as an angel of comfort. Oh, we've seen that happen before, haven't we? Yes, we have. Remember when the angels, they came to the shepherds? And what did they say? They said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, oh, I bring you good news of great joy." So we want to see today how memory and hope work together. Our scripture today, it's a simple one. Lamentations chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 21. And here's what Jeremiah said. "This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope." And what is he recalling to his mind? The next verse. "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. Oh, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord, he is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I have hope in him." Now, if we, like Jeremiah, would exercise our memories and call him to bring us a cup of joy, our hearts would be lit. Oh, they'd be lit like a candle and give light to the whole house. Think of stoking a fire as it dims. You ever see a fire begin to go out? You stoke it, and as we push the old ashes aside, they were smothering the wood, right? Well, likewise, if we would rake the ashes of the past aside, we would see the glow that is buried there. And then you can kindle that fire once again. That's what we need to do sometimes. Just move away the past for a bit and let the glow of good memories begin to rise up. And as Jeremiah said, "This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope." See, he brushed aside the ashes and he stoked the fire. And he sees the flames of God loving kindness and compassion. It begins to well up in his heart. So what we're saying today is, for the follower of Christ, this is for the born-again believer, you can do this. You have hope. Oh, but the one without Christ, he knows no hope. There is no hope in life or eternity apart from Christ. There's no hope now, and there's no hope for the future. But even as Christ's followers, we have times of trouble, no doubt about it. And Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation." It's true, isn't it? Oh yeah. "But take courage. I've overcome the world." So in Christ there is peace. In the world there is trouble, but Christ has overcome the world. But you know what? Even the tribulations that we have on this earth, nothing like the tribulations of those who died in their sin, and they're now under the earth. Because in that place, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's the choking of fire and brimstone. What is brimstone? Sulfur. You ever light a book of matches, blow it out, smell it? Burns your nose, burns your eyes. That's sulfur. That's brimstone. That's hell. And in that place, surrounded by utter darkness, and they wear the chains of their guilt and shame, and it's where the worm dies not. And they cast away from the presence of God. Why? Why are they in that place? They refuse to let Christ take their sin from them. They refuse to let Christ take their judgment from them. They said, no, I'll bear my own judgment. And so they are. And you see, this could have been our faith, our fate, our eternal future, were it not for the loving kindness and the compassion of God. See, God's compassion reached out to everybody. And some received it, and some refused it. Hell is an uninhabitable place. But our habitat will never be like that. It'll never be there. Oh, no, not at all. We have a memory that serves us well. And you know what the memory says? His compassions never fail. That's what memory says. How often do you let your memory serve you and bring you good tidings of God, that his compassions never fail, that they are new, oh, every morning? Great, O Lord, is your faithfulness. See, that's why our memory is a servant, and he can serve you well when you let him do his part. And God's compassions, you know what? They're never exhausted. Never. Beggar after beggar can go to his door, and he'll welcome them all. Now, this may be a small comfort to you right now. Right now, maybe you're going through a trial, a tribulation. But you know, here's how you overcome that. When you kindle a fire, you don't put a log on the kindling. You put kindling on the kindling. The little sticks. In other words, it starts off small. And then when those small sticks catch, then you put on the log. And so it is with our thoughts. The smaller thoughts of joy and the little things, they soon begin to grow, and then they become larger thoughts of joy. So think about small blessings. Think about the small compassions, the small joys that God has brought you through. And then let them flare up. Let them grow larger and larger. And you begin to recognize the greater blessings and the greater joys. And you know what happens? Hope begins to well up in your soul. And memory has served you well. Contrast your own present position right now with that of the wicked. There's our thoughts of eternal suffering. See, we may always think that we have it the worst, right? Oh, I've got it bad. This happened, that happened. And yes, we're not saying it's not serious. It's bad. But when you think about those that have resisted Christ, it can't get any worse. Oh, they have it so much worse, and it's forever, for all of eternity. See, as God's people, we need to think more of the goodness of God rather than the badness of life. Yes, life has its badness, but God has greater goodness. We need to think along those lines. It all depends on what you compare your trials and tribulations to. That's all. You know, you have a sore shoulder, and it hurts. And then you see a person with no arm. You thank God for the sore shoulder. There's a story of a poor woman with two children. They had no bed to sleep in, and scarcely any clothes to cover them. And in the depth of winter, they were so cold. So the mother took the door of the cellar off the hinges and set it down to block the draft that was coming into the house. One of the children whispered to her mother when she saw how the mother complained about how badly off they were. The little child said, "Mother, what do those little children do that have no cellar door to put in front of them?" Even a little heart like that found a cause for thankfulness. So Jeremiah is speaking, and by the way, the book of Lamentations, it's a book about a sad time for Israel. It means to lament, to mourn. And in his mourning, his grieving, you know what he says? "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. And therefore, because of that, I have hope in him." See, his soul is speaking. You know why his soul can speak that way? Because his soul is healthy. Oh, the body might be breaking down. Circumstances might be caving in. But his soul is healthy. Why? Because he filled it with the word of God. So he said, "Therefore, I have hope." So, you know, we read these things, and, you know, the Bible is about making application to our own lives. And trouble may have taken you. It might have taken you to a place where you wish you wouldn't be. But remember this, you have not lost your portion in him. As Jeremiah said, "The Lord, he's my portion." And you haven't lost it either. Portion means allotment. So he's saying, "The Lord is my allotment." Oh, and what is it about Isaiah that's saying this? It's not his lips. It's his soul. Isaiah has a nourished soul. He nourished his soul on the things of God. So you know what happens? His soul speaks of hopeful things. An impoverished soul speaks of empty things. And you know, how many of God's people, when they speak empty things because they have an impoverished soul. And I know people that say they're believers. Oh yeah, they say it. They say, "Yes, I love Jesus," but their souls are impoverished. There's more of the world in their soul than heaven. There's more of the philosophy of the world than the word of God in their soul. And when they open their mouth in times of trouble, it's only complaints. There's no hope. There's no hope that comes from them because their soul is empty. Where are you today? Is your soul nourished or is it empty? Now you can tell. What comes from it? What comes out of your soul during times of trouble? If it's words of hope, you got a healthy soul. But if words of complaint, you have a malnourished soul. It's malnourished. It's starving. It's anemic. It needs the word of God. See, we are reading about the mind of a man, Jeremiah. He knows where his hope is. He knows where his hope comes from. You know where it comes from? His servant memory. Yes, his memory goes to the cupboard and pulls out all of this hope that Jeremiah stored away there. And in his trials and tribulations, Jeremiah says to his memory, "Bring me a cup of joy." And it arrives in Lamentations 3:21. And he wrote it down for us, and he said, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope." And what's he recalling? He's recalling, oh, the goodnesses of God. The thoughts of the Lord's, in verse 22, loving kindnesses. He hasn't forgotten them. He stored them away. He packed them away for a future time. I have hope because I recall to my mind the Lord's loving kindnesses, and indeed, they never cease. Jeremiah has convinced himself of God's goodness and God's, constancy. The constancy of the goodness of God and the fact that his compassions never fail. They're always there. Do you see God's loving kindness as a constant, or do you see it as fleeting? Oh, one day it's here, one day it's not. Oh, one day, oh, I know God loves me. Then the next day, oh, where is God? Did God forget me? Is God busy? Does God know what I'm going through? You know who talks like that? Somebody with an empty soul. An impoverished soul. Because you put nothing there. You didn't put anything in it of God. And it's empty. And you become a Mother Hubbard Christian. What did she do? She went to the cupboard, and when she got there, the cupboard was bare. Don't be a Mother Hubbard Christ follower. When you go to the cupboard, make sure it's full. Full of the promises of God. And you say to your memory, "Go fetch me a cup of joy." And he brings back a blessed memory of the goodness of God, the loving kindnesses of God, and the fact that his compassions never fail. And not only do they never fail, you know what else Jeremiah said? They are new every morning. Remember the manna in the wilderness? Oh yeah, every day God brought fresh manna to the people in the wilderness. It's a picture of God's compassions. Fresh and new, every morning, every day. But you got to go out and get it. See, if the people didn't go out and get the manna, it just stayed there. They had to go and retrieve it. And God's goodness and compassions, it's all around us. Go retrieve it. Like Jesus said, "Behold the lilies of the field. Go look at them. Behold the birds of the air. Go observe them. And look at how I provide for them. And I make them beautiful." But go out there and learn the lesson and watch them. That's what we have to do. We have to be observant of the goodnesses of God in our lives. Oh, we're so forgetful. But we certainly remember the complaints, don't we? Oh, yeah. We certainly remember the times when we doubted God and we blamed God and God didn't come through. How often do we go for prayer out of our need instead of our thankfulness? How often do we say, "Oh, pray for me because this is happening in my life," as if God is not good and God is not loving and kind and God is not compassionate? Sometimes our prayer lives make God look like he's far removed from us because of what we pray for and how we pray, "Oh God, I have nothing. Give me something." We need to look at what he's already given us. And Jeremiah said, "Great is your faithfulness." Not little. God's faithfulness is not little. It's not, oh, itsy bitsy teeny weeny. It's great, mega in the Greek. But this is Hebrew. I don't know what that word is. "Great is your faithfulness." And then he said, "See, the Lord, oh, he's my portion. He's what I need. He's all I need. Says my soul." Not my lips. My soul. His innermost being is convinced of the goodness of God. See, that's where we live life from, right? We live life from the soul. Healthy soul, healthy life. Sickly soul, sickly life. Right? How do you get a healthy soul? Fill it up. Fill it up with God. That's how. How do you get a sickly soul? Fill it up with the world. Go ahead. Go ahead, prodigal. Fill it up with the world and feed with the pigs. Eat what they eat. They wouldn't even feed their food. Share their food with him. So Jeremiah is saying, because memory has served me well and reminds me of the goodness of God, the compassion of God, the faithfulness of God, and therefore I have hope in him. That's where hope comes from. You need hope. You need to develop your certainty in God. See, this follows salvation. Live a life of certainty. Think about the mountains. When the mountains are hidden in the darkness, they're still there. They're still as real as during the day. They didn't flee away. They're there. You just can't see them. And then when the day appears, oh, there they are. They've been there all along, haven't they? And God's love is like that. God's love is as true now as it ever will be. Maybe you don't see it in the darkness, but it's there. It's there. Rub your eyes and you'll see it. God's love, his unfailing loving kindness and compassions, they're always there. Do you believe it? They're always there. They don't go away. So memory presents you the glory of eternity. And when it does, you begin to forget the trials of time. God will bring you over the waves. Memory is your servant, and memory can be your best comforter. But it depends on what he brings you. If you let him bring you a cup of bitterness, you'll be bitter. If you let him bring you discouragement, you'll be discouraged. But if you let him bring you who God is, compassionate, faithful, loving, merciful, then he'll bring you joy. See, how do you use your memory? That's the key. How do you use it? Do you use it for your own betterment, or do you use it for your own destruction? Oh, you know what some people do? They use their memory for their destruction, and then that's their excuse to go out and abuse themselves. That's the excuse. Well, this is why I did this. This is why I got addicted. This is why this happened. And they use their anemic memory as a platform, as a springboard to destroy themselves. When how much better? So tell memory, bring me some joy. Bring me thoughts of God. That God so loved me that he sent his only begotten son. That when I believe on him, I'll never perish and I'll have eternal life. There's a cup of joy. Did you get that one? If God can do the greatest thing to save us, can he do the greatest thing to keep us? Saving us is harder work. Keeping us is easy. He's holding on to us. So let your memory be a good servant. Let it be a servant of hope. Next time we're together, we're going to look at hope for the hopeless. See, there's always hope. Are you kidding me? No, there's always hope. As long as there's Christ, there's hope. And there will always be Jesus Christ. Oh, he's the past, he's the present, he's the future. He's eternal. He'll always be. He's the great I am. He'll always be. when Moses said, "Who should I tell them sent me? Tell them I am sent you." He knew what that meant. He knew it meant always was, always will be, ever existent. He knew who he was talking to. Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know the ever existent God? That's the key. Oh, we're so forgetful sometimes. And when you're forgetful, your memory brings you the wrong stuff. But when you let the compassions of God fill your soul and the Word of God fill your soul, don't you worry. The memory will always bring you a cup of joy. See, memory is everybody's servant. How do you want him to serve you? Give him things to bring you. That's why we're in the Word of God every day. We're filling the cupboard. And then the memory goes and brings all those wonderful promises, all those wonderful scriptures, so we can have hope. Help us bring hope to people. We had 157 downloads of our messages last week. Wow. Because I get reports every week. Go to the Hope Club. No, wait a minute. What is it? NewHopeRadio.live. Click the menu bar. Read all about it, getting on board. And then the Hope Club podcast. They're being listened to all over the world. Because people are looking for hope. Join us, will you? I'll see you next time. For Hope for the Hopeless.